This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming up on DTNS, Chris Ashley from SMR Podcast joins us to talk about new features for Pixel phones, AT&T exempting HBO Max from data caps, and Samsung's new subscription service. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Roger Chang, producing the show.
Yes, that's what you are. He almost forgot. Also joining us, as I just mentioned, Chris Ashley, host of the SMR podcast. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me back. Hello, everyone.
Extra thank you again for being part of yesterday's show. Really appreciate it, man.
Oh, my God. Absolute pleasure. Thank you to your fans and to anybody else that caught a listen and had kind words to say. It was unexpected. We had no idea. We actually had to talk about, is this going to be good for us to, because what's going to happen? And we're like, let's go. Let it fly. And the response has just been overwhelming. So, yeah. Awesome.
I'm glad you decided to do that, given that it turned out positive. We've had no negative responses yet to that show. So thank you.
Amazing.
The listeners for that as well. We were just talking about all kinds of things, grilling food and getting haircuts. Get that wider conversation in our expanded show at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Cisco CEO Chuck Robbins announced that Cisco Live, scheduled for Wednesday, tomorrow, will be postponed. Robbins said that, quote, people across the U.S. and the world are dealing with so much pain, frustration, and anger. We want to give you space this week to do what you need to do within your own organizations and communities.
And likewise, Sony postponing the PlayStation 5 event that was supposed to happen Thursday, June 4th. The company's official account tweeted, while we understand gamers worldwide are excited to see PS5 games, we do not feel that right now is a time for celebration, and for now we want to stand back and let more important voices be heard. Sony didn't give details on a new date yet. Also, EA delayed the Madden NFL 21 event scheduled for Tuesday, and Google delayed its Android 11 beta announcement.
New data from Gartner shows global sales of smartphones declined 20.2% in the first quarter of 2020 this year. Samsung smartphone sales fell 22.7% in Q1. However, the company kept the number one spot with 18.5% of market share. Huawei recorded a decline of 27.3% year over year to 42.5 million units. However, still kept its number two position with 14.2% market share. Apple's iPhone sales declined 8.2% to 41 million units, and Oppo's smartphone sales fell 19.1%. However, strong sales of Xiaomi's Redmi devices actually led the company to a gain in Q1 over 2019, the only top five company to do so.
Amazon now lets you use the drop-in feature on all your Amazon-capable devices at once. You could already use the drop-in feature to send your voice to, say, the Echo in the bathroom or the Echo Show in the kitchen. But now you can say, drop in everywhere, and it'll send your voice to all devices, kind of like a whole house intercom. Reminders also can be set up for all devices at once.
Unless you're like me and you use Amazon's Assistant on a Sonos device, in which case you can't do any of these things. HP released a new version of Omen 15 gaming laptop with a 15.6-inch screen on a 180-degree hinge. HP hopes people will pick it up for more uses than just gaming. It's for lots of things. You can choose AMD Ryzen 7 H-Series or Intel Core i7 H-Series processors, and up to the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 2070 Supermax Q GPU. Specs range up to 32 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte PCIe drive, and an OLED panel up to 300 hertz, full HD or 120 hertz for ultra HD. Omen 15 is available on June 2nd, that's today, starting at $999. HP also announced the 16-inch Pavilion Gaming 16 in June, starting at $799. The company also announced its first 2.1-channel speaker system, a wireless gaming headset, new mice, and a 24-inch gaming monitor.
Anyone tempted to buy an HP?
I mean, kind of, for those prices. Just saying, kinda looks good.
I need a new computer. And now I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That Ryzen processor is a beast.
And that NVIDIA. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're nice looking specs. Uh-oh. And they're toned down a little bit in their look as well. They've tried to sleek it up and make it a little so you could use your gaming laptop in a business situation and not have it right. Show out of place. All right, let's talk a little more about that Pixel update. Google announced new fixed features for its Pixel line of Android phones. Adaptive battery does a job of predicting when your battery is going to run out and give you a little bit of warning ahead of time. You can now start recordings with Google Assistant and even get automatic transcripts. But some of the beefier features are personal safety check, which lets you set a time to check in. Let's say you're out for a walk. Maybe you're in an unfamiliar area or at a time of night that you're just a little unsure about. Or maybe you're just out at the clubs, whatever. At that time, a prompt asks if you're okay, the time you set. And if you are, you can immediately dismiss it, or you can choose to start sharing with emergency contacts or contact 911. If you don't do anything, it will automatically share your location with emergency contacts. It will not automatically contact 911 to prevent accidental calls. And there's also a new bedtime mode in the clock app that lets you fall asleep to calming sounds. It limits your interruptions and will log your activity for you. If you're on your phone after bedtime, it'll tell you like, hey, you told us bedtime was 11 o'clock.
You're working on Twitter
and Instagram and TikTok this long after 11 o'clock. Google rolled out bedtime tools in Android itself last month, but today's new bedtime tab in the clock app is exclusive to Pixel phones now and coming to all Android devices later this summer.
I gotta say, the personal safety check makes perfect sense. Although, and you mentioned the clubs. Ha ha. I mean, when was the last time I was at a club? Been a while, and probably will be again, if ever. But I can imagine a lot of people being like, this is a really good idea. And then they just sort of like safely fall asleep. And then their emergency contacts are like, you might not be okay because you didn't say okay on your side of the device. So some of the stuff is, I guess it remains to be seen how helpful it is versus sort of false positives of people getting scared. But it's better to have the option than to not have it at all.
Yeah, and the more I think about that feature, the more I'd like to see it for, you know, kids and parents, right? Mm-hmm. You get the safety check, kids out, you know, party or whatever, you know, teenagers.
Yeah.
And they don't check in, then, you know, the phone starts doing its thing. I kind of like that feature, actually.
Yeah, I can't imagine I would use this at home much, but that's a really good use for it. I could see maybe using this traveling, you know. My wife and I travel, and sometimes one of us will go off to do something while the other goes in a different area. Maybe this is a way for us to make sure that we don't get lost or anything like that. The bedtime thing I'm not going to use, though. I fall asleep too early.
Yeah, don't need it. Facebook launched a tool which you might need called Manage Activity that lets users batch delete old posts. You can search by date, people tagged, or content type, and then choose to either delete entirely or archive the batch so only you can see them. Deleted posts will be recoverable for 30 days if you happen to change your mind, and you can choose to delete them before the 30 days as well if you're just like, no, I'm sure I want them out of here. Manage Activity is available to some app users now and will roll out over the next few weeks to others.
Yeah. So I more like this for kids, right? Because kids are going to post things that are silly all the times. And, you know, once they start entering college and the job market and, you know, be able to go back and clean that stuff up. Adults, I think you should be wear your shame.
Do you think this should be locked down?
And locked
adults,
down.
Yeah. Adults not allowed. This, if you're, I'm sorry, if you're over 18, you cannot use manage activity.
I mean, in general, I am a person who doesn't like to delete photographs at all. I just like if you're embarrassed by them or they're not working for some reason, it's like, yeah, lock them down. But in general, like deleting history makes me uncomfortable. Facebook is a great place for this. Like I can think of two use cases immediately that people would be like, this is awesome. If you're trying to get a job and all of a sudden there are maybe a collection of photos that you have that, you know, not necessarily should go away forever, but need to be put under a padlock so that they're not immediately viewed or go through a breakup of some kind. You know, we've all sort of seen that where it's like, oh, that person just disappeared from a other person's timeline. Like, okay, you do what you got to do. But this at least gives you a little bit more of flexibility to maybe, again, just put that in an album somewhere that isn't associated with you to the outside world, but doesn't necessarily just mean that you've deleted them or you've untagged that person entirely.
I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it because Facebook does the automatic, like, this is where you were 10 years ago sort of thing.
Oh, it's right. The worst.
Some people love. It's the worst. But yeah. Not only breakups, but, you know, friends or family pass away.
That too.
You might like being reminded, you might not. And because this has a filter, you could say like, you know what, just archive those pictures for a while. Maybe I'll bring them back later, but it gives you some control.
And years ago, I did this on Flickr. I was such a like a deep Flickr user. I still am to some extent, but back in the day it was more so. And after some time went by, I was like, a lot of this stuff is just public when it shouldn't be. And, you know, even just kind of like photos that I took of a mountain like 40 times where I'm like, just the one picture maybe is fine right. For like everybody else. And so
mountain back then.
Yeah. And I don't know how many people use Facebook in that way where it's like super heavy into photography, but if you do, then this is actually really helpful.
Yeah, my only question is, it's gone for you if you want it to be, but is it gone for Facebook as well?
Yeah.
That was my only question. It's like, you know, can they dredge it back up later on?
This is
even though you permanently delete it.
Yeah, this is
For ad targeting purposes, certainly.
Well, and Facebook has had a history of saying things are deleted and then people finding them available if you knew the URL to look for. They fixed that problem. I would say this is not a good feature for forensic use. If you're like, I really need to securely get rid of my past,
Objectively is
possibly not going to do that. This is really like for the use cases we're talking about where I don't want to be reminded or I just want to keep some things out of my timeline. Because you're right, Chris, they may not be gone from the server.
Yeah.
AT&T confirmed to The Verge that its HBO Max streaming service will not count against AT&T Mobile's traditional data caps, or even those soft data caps you get on otherwise unlimited, where they're like, well, it's unlimited, but as soon as you hit this cap, we'll slow you down. Won't count against those either. Competing services like Netflix and Disney Plus do, because they haven't paid AT&T. A Verge source says HBO Max is using AT&T's sponsored data system, which technically lets a company pay to excuse its services from data caps, which would mean internally at AT&T, Warner Media records an expense from its bottom line. It has to pay the other division, AT&T Mobile. AT&T Mobile records revenue. But as far as AT&T's overall bottom line, it's a
bit of a wash,
right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's easy to dismiss that. I've been in the case where I was working in a department that had to charge,
pay
another division, and it sucks to be in the department that has to pay because that does come out of your budget. But again, overall, it's not going to hurt the profitability of AT&T, is it? Here's the thing. When The Verge investigated back in February 2018, only AT&T's own DirecTV, UVerse, and Fullscreen used its sponsored data service. AT&T itself on its site only lists a partner named Aquito as a user of its sponsored data page. Aquito is a marketing company that gives customers more data to use in exchange for viewing ads. You engage with the marketing and then they give you data credits. The idea with this kind of zero rating is that it's either just given, like T-Mobile does, to partners for no charge, or it's a charge service like AT&T has. And the idea would be like anybody's free to buy it. So we're not we're not preferring our own service here. It's just no one else has bought it. Does that ring true with you, Chris?
The more I hear it and the more I reread it, the sicker and sicker I get over this, because the reality is, this is just nonsense. Because clearly, if Netflix paid for this, they're going to pass the charge on to us, which is the whole purpose of having a net neutrality in the first place. So, they can say, yeah, we've got this loophole where you can buy the service. But the reality is they don't expect anybody to buy it. And the biggest problem, as the article points out, it's not even illegal because we don't have net neutrality anymore. Thanks, Ajit Pai.
Aha, you said his name. I was hoping you wouldn't have to do that to yourself.
It's a funny thing because for years we've been talking about like, are there, aren't they, when it comes to lots of, large companies that are running a lot of people's internet and broadband services and television services and, sometimes all three. And back just a few short years ago, it'd be like, well, this is an outrage. And now it's kind of like, so this is happening, pretty sucky of AT&T, but like they're allowed to. Not illegal. What are we going to do about it?
To be clear, they would have been allowed to under the Open Internet Guidelines. Open Internet Guidelines allowed zero rating for mobile as long as you made it available to others. So by the letter of the law, net neutrality was still around. They would have been fine the way it was written. I think the biggest thing that I would like to see AT&T do here is make it transparent how much this costs. Now, I know that that's a competitive disadvantage and there's reasons why.
To be part of the sponsored program.
But tell me who's using it. Tell me how much it costs, because if it costs a lot to the point where no one would possibly use this unless they were inside the company knowing like, well, they'll increase my budget by that much later to make up for it. So it's all cool, right? Because there's tricks you can do like that. Because that would be getting around the idea of even the old rule, which was if you're not preferring your own services, it's okay. And it does appear like AT&T is preferring its own services, but AT&T gets to say they're not, because they have a plan that anybody can call them and ask them about if they want.
You see, the problem with this, too, is like super confusing, right? Because, it's like it's legal. It's not illegal. Well, there's a loophole that allows people to get through it. And I think the whole net neutrality thing has gone through because it's somewhat confusing for the majority of people. Like the people that understood it complained about it, but others, just don't care. They don't realize how it affects them. Mm-hmm. And when we take on issues like this, we got to be better about simplifying it so that people understand why they're getting screwed.
And my big thing is we need to stop changing the rules every time we change the party in control. Consistent rules across administrations.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Roku has added a program guide grid. This might be good news for some of you Roku folks, to its Roku channel app, which shows what's streaming at the moment with 130 viewing options. The options include several live news streams, similar to how Zumo or maybe Pluto TV work, if you're familiar with either of those. The Roku channel also offers on-demand programming, some free with ads, as well as some premium offerings with Stars, BET Plus, Acorn TV, and others.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird if you haven't used the Roku channel. It's a bunch of on-demand stuff that's free. It streams with ads. It's very similar to IMDb TV or Fubo. Was it Fubo? No, Tubi. Tubi. They're so similar in their names. But they just stream stuff for free, and they play ads for you. But then they also do what Apple TV does or Amazon does, where they let you add on paid channels, and that's the Stars, BET Plus, Acorn TV stuff. So I like this idea that they've put in a grid, and it's kind of cool that they're integrating more of a Pluto TV type feel to this, along with that on demand library, especially right now when people want to watch news. If you're kind of flailing around, if you don't have a YouTube TV or a Hulu Live TV or something like that, this might be a way to find an ABC News live stream, something like that.
Yeah, I love anything that helps people cut the cord, because I did it years ago. And the fact that I still see updates and I still see people saying, I just cut the cord, on Facebook or whatever, it really just shows me like, yeah, we might have been early. So anything, any service that can be done that can make the process easier for folks and make content easier for people to find, because that's one of the hardest things you have to do, right? Is you have to figure out, here's what I watch. how do I get it when I cut the cord? So anything that makes that process easier for people, I'm all for.
This is good for Roku's business too, because their business is less about selling boxes and more about selling services and advertisements. And the more people they can get to use the Roku channel, the more of that they can get. They can rake in a little bit of that Stars money. They can rake in a little bit of that advertising money. Maybe they can finally come to an agreement with HBO Max and get an HBO Max app on there. We'll see. So, it's interesting to see the development of Roku and the evolution of Roku as it goes. Samsung launched the Access phone subscription program in the United States. The program bundles in a new Galaxy S20 or an S20 Plus or an S20 Ultra with Samsung Premium Care, 1 terabyte of OneDrive cloud storage, and Microsoft 365 personal services. Users can upgrade devices after 9 months for free or earlier for a one-time $100 fee for canceling access within the first 3 months. So in other words, you can upgrade every 9 months. You got to keep it for at least 3 months or you got to pay these fees. Access pricing varies by device. $37 per month for the Galaxy S20, $42 a month for the S20 Plus, $48 a month for the S20 Ultra.
I'm looking at this and it's easy to kind of just dismiss it. But just OneDrive is $9 a month. Office 365 Personal is like, I think, $65 a year or something like that. Just those two alone really make this kind of compelling. And then if you're, you know, I don't do it as much anymore, but if you're still on the, I got to have the new hotness every, you know, every year, I think it's a no brainer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this it's sort of like at first I was like, oh, it's like Creative Cloud and what I've gotten used to. Like I pay in perpetuity, you know, for all the cool software that I want, or my car lease, where it's like, all right, well, I get to upgrade fairly often because I can't commit, but also I, you know, don't have to pay as much upfront type thing. This is a great service. Again, like you mentioned, Chris, for if you want some of that, like the cloud storage, the software portion of this, then the, oh, and I get a new device that's shiny and cool more often because that's part of what I'm paying for, is it is very compelling.
Yeah. Word, Excel, Access, man, just those three is good enough.
I mean, shoot, the terabyte of storage alone.
I'm not.
Along with the phone. Don't forget, you're getting the phone, right? Like, you're getting a top-end phone. It's only for the S20s right now. But this is a pretty compelling thing if you live in these ecosystems. And that's really what the game is right now, is something right. Like this says, let's get you into the Galaxy ecosystem. Let's get you into the OneDrive ecosystem. And then you'll want to stay there. You won't want to leave for iPhone or Pixel or Dropbox or any of that. And that's the game all these companies are playing.
Yeah. And more importantly, it's the business model that everybody's trying to get into, right? The software as a service, yep. You know. And, Microsoft does it with Xbox. And, you know, you can do the games where you can download certain games that they have available. Everybody's trying to find their niche around this. And, you know, it's kind of smart for them to work together to bundle additional services that they may not be able to offer on their own. So that part is smart as well. And you know, Microsoft wants to get those numbers up for people using Office 365. So it's smart for them to bundle or allow people to bundle their services in. It's just smart all the way around.
Samsung as a service.
Taken.
Well, speaking of Samsung, Samsung's 43-inch 4K QLED Cero TV. If you forget which one that is, we talked about it at CES. It's the one that rotates between landscape and portrait modes. Maybe you want to watch some TikTok videos for a while. Well, you can do that. Then go back to landscape mode. It's now on sale in the US for $2,000 and in the UK for £1,600. The Cero was available in Korea up until now, but it's been available there. If you have a compatible phone, like Samsung's own Galaxy phone, you can tap it against the TV's frame to launch screen mirroring, and the TV will automatically rotate because it understands that you want to match your phone's orientation. So that's kind of fun. But if you don't have that, or you just want to do it other ways, you can also use a remote or voice commands or the SmartThings app to manually rotate the TV. AirPlay 2 also supported. So if you like the form factor of this, you might be into it. I actually have a friend who for whatever reason, he's like, don't want to mount a TV on my wall. Never liked that idea. Love the idea of being able to put wheels on this, but you can. Doesn't mind that in landscape mode, you've kind of got this kind of chalkboard type of mm-hmm. thing that is going on that you're going to see when you're not in portrait. And, you know, the only thing that would hold anybody back, really, if you like this, again, because it does give you some options, is it's somewhat of an unproven model, but, you know, it's the price. It's, you know, do you want to spend $2,000 on a 43-inch TV? Because for a lot of people, it's like, oh, 43 inches isn't that big.
Yeah, that's a super detractor for me, is that $2,000. I mean, I wouldn't even get this anyway, because, and I want to be clear, I actually enjoy the ability to cast my phone screen up to the TV, because quite often when I'm working out in my home gym and like somebody sends me a video and I've got my brother or my training partner with me in there, I'm like, oh, you got to see this. And I'll send it up to the TV through Apple TV.
Yeah, it's super
and
handy.
We'll get a laugh out of it and then we'll go back to working out or whatever. So I love that feature. So I'm not poo-pooing the ability to do that. But I've never had a video where I was like, man, I wish I could cast this and then rotate it. And then, oh, the TV can rotate it for $2,000. No, I'm not down with that at all. That is crazy.
Although you mentioned working out, and it's like, listen, I'm a little late to the TikTok game, but I'm waving the white flag. TikTok is super addictive. It just took me a while to like understand that. If I was working out specifically or some other reason where I'm like, you know, I can just sort of like have stuff on there for an hour, that would be a great time to have portrait mode on my television, which, I mean, none of my TVs do that unless you want the black bars.
Yeah,
it's kind of a good bar. Side effect, right? Not a thing you would seek out and be like, this is my reason for getting a TV. Like,
I hope not. Strike me down if I ever, like, I need to watch TikTok videos. I need to get that portrait TV. I don't know. It's I'll be interested to see who gets this and how it works. And if we see a lot more of these kinds of TVs that, you know, are swivelable.
Go ahead.
Sorry, just real quick. The only thing I feel like they're trying to drop the ball on is if you have to tap the screen to get it to rotate. If that was
an automatic. You can do it with voice and remote too.
Oh
yeah.
It's not just with the tap.
Yeah, that's just like a cool feature where if you've got the right phone, then they talk to each other.
I thought you had to tap. I was like, why don't you just go the extra mile? But okay, if you can just do it on its own.
I'm worried about the hinge wearing out. That's like, when does that thing stop rotating?
Oh, could you imagine 6 months later?
Right.
It's stuck in the diagonal.
Well, that's why I'm like, I was saying to my friend, I'm like, buy it and then tell me how it goes, because I'm not doing it. You know, two guinea pig. Right.
I notice everybody in our chat room is like, this is perfect for Quibi, because Quibi has that thing on your phone where you can turn it either way. Except Quibi just got the ability to cast to AirPlay, but only in landscape. So if you had this TV and you were casting Quibi, you'd have to.
That would be so annoying. Yeah. You'd be better off on the mobile device as it was intended.
Hey, folks, get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes. Don't forget, you can catch up real quick. Subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, Visit stripe.com/tapiphone. This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Right now on a special edition of Tools and Weapons, Brad Smith is sharing a vision for what Microsoft calls the new AI economy. It's an idea rooted in technological revolutions of the past, like the printing press, which created a vibrant marketplace of related innovations, ultimately leading to an explosion of books and readers. But he doesn't just give a history lesson. In the episode, Brad lays out the tangible ways that Microsoft is providing infrastructure and other support to those leading the charge of the new AI economy. And he explains the importance of using that infrastructure to ensure equitable access to AI to people all over the world. To stay current on insights from voices at the center of the conversation on AI, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you like to listen.
And thanks to everyone who participates in our subreddit. I got some stories for Daily Tech Headlines just this morning from y'all, so thank you. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and let us know what is important to you.
Indeed. Let's check out the mailbag.
You know, we got a lot of feedback on our special Time to Listen episode of DTNS yesterday. If you haven't listened to it, I hope you do, and I hope you get something out of it. And we got so much good feedback. We don't have time for it here, but just wanted to read some excerpts of a few. One person said, "The stories told by those I've listened to for years touched me and gave insight I have never had so clearly." Will you pick this up, please, Tom?
Oh, sure. The story that's listened for years touched me. It gave insight I've never had so clearly. Another person said, "I know about the inequality either due to race or economics or both, but knowing isn't feeling or understanding. I'll probably never be able to understand, but your podcast did something that most other reporting has failed to do. For me, it went beyond the facts and hit me on a more personal level. Thank you and your correspondents for this gift." Another person said, "I normally write off shows and segments like what you did on Monday as pure virtue signaling. In the case of DTNS, however, your years of apolitical reporting, which I am immensely thankful for, have given you a level of credibility that other outlets simply don't have. As a result, I was happy to listen, really listen, and I now have a better appreciation and perspective. I imagine the decision for this episode wasn't easy, and I imagine you published this episode knowing that you'd get some blowback, probably even people exclaiming that they'd be canceling their Patreon subscriptions. I applaud your courage. Thank you for yielding the DTNS platform to share the voices of the Black community in this moment." Those are from different people, all those
amazing
sentiments, but they're representative of the vast majority of people. And our Patreon right now is down 6 patrons on the month, which is about normal. As people get charged at the beginning of the month, they tend to go like, "Oh, wait, I can't really afford that." So it seems like that is not a factor either.
And let me just take one second to really, from the bottom of my heart, and on behalf, at least from Rob and I'm sure Brother Tech, thank the folks that took time to listen and comment and share their thoughts. Because the reality is, when you have a conversation like this, you really do think twice about putting these type of stories out, because you're bearing your soul. And you're putting your perspective out there that you're not sure that people are going to get. And the idea is not to preach or to beat you down or to shame anybody. We just want people to understand the world is different. And we took, the time, because it was a real conversation. It was a real portrait into our lives. And and you always worry about the response, and seeing the response all day today and most of yesterday has absolutely blown me away. And I just have to say thank you. And I appreciate the folks that took the time to listen and offer comments on it.
Thanks, man.
We also got, on a very happy note, a note from Charles who says, "I'm sure that AMS will already have let you know, but the GDI team has broken into the top 500 folding at home teams out of 253,708.
Yeah, folding at home is trying to find a protein that'll help find a vaccine for COVID-19. Our team ranking is right now 477.
Woo!
Awesome.
Shout out to patrons at our master and grandmaster levels, including Bjorn Andre, Tim Ashman, and Philip Shane. Also, big, big thanks to Chris Ashley for being with us today. You know, just wouldn't have it any other way. Chris, I know it's been a crazy few weeks. Let folks know where they can keep up with everything that you've been up to.
Hey, you can always catch me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. But, you know, check us out on the SMR podcast. You know, we have these conversations. We have crazy conversations about barbecue, working out. But definitely we're going to cover some tech and from our perspective and how we kind of think of things. So me, Rob, and Rod are doing it every week at SMRpodcast.com.
And of course, you can always support our show at any level and get some perks in the bargain. DailyTechNewsShow.com/Patreon.
If you've got feedback for us, our email address is feedback@DailyTechNewsShow.com. Keep it coming. We love to hear from you. We're also live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 2030 UTC. And you can find out more at DailyTechNewsShow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.